Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Friday edition of the Devil's Advocates. It's getting better right now. I got a fine guest. He's joined me in the Shaw. He is former U.S. Attorney James Santel, my good friend, sitting across the desk looking at those delicious looking cannolis. How you doing, Joe?
Mike, I'm doing well right here on Wisconsin Avenue, downtown Waukesha. Delighted to be with you once again on a Friday afternoon.
Well, Jimmy, Jim.
That's right. My friends call me Jim. All of those things. Absolutely.
You should hear what my friends call me. Jim, there has been so many legal cases of note of late. And I think we've got to start with the Supreme Court. In this case, current Supreme Court Justice, Associate Justice Clarence Thomas, and his wife Jenny. And the allegations, or at least the text messages that have now come to public reporting. And she said some crazy things. And part of what she said is, let's overturn the election. God tells me in my praying, something like that. I feel it's true in my heart of hearts, this election was stolen. So first and foremost, it's troubling to see this sort of text messages become public. But we as Democrats, I'm not speaking for you, Jim, but I as a Democrat and many of my friends, we're wondering what's the reaction? Right. How do we react? Clarence Thomas obviously didn't recuse, not in regards to the executive privilege claims on Mark Meadows' text originally. Well, we now know that his wife had a lot of text, like 21 of them in that mix. So, Jim, first and foremost, do you feel as if Clarence Thomas has committed a crime? B, is there any way to pressure this guy to even recuse? Or C, do we go all in, even if it's a losing battle, and try to impeach the man?
I'll answer the first part of that, which is outrage is appropriate. Outrage is appropriate. Yeah. We talked about this before, Mike. This is a reason for the American public to look at this amazing institution established by James Madison and others over 233 years ago and say, you are compromising the integrity of this institution. Why? Because you're rendering suspect decisions that are being made. Even a vote that does not carry the majority on this, for example, the 700 documents produced from the archives to the committee. He was the singular justice who voted against the submission of those materials. We know that. We know about a Pennsylvania case, all these kinds of things. What should happen, of course, is that John Roberts, and maybe he has done it, should have lunch with Clarence Thomas and say, Clarence, we need to talk. And we need to talk about what it means to be impartial, what it means to have an appearance of impropriety, and you need to recuse yourself. Maybe somebody like Sam Alito has got to have that conversation. Because right now, the other outrage about this is that while under rules applicable to the appeals courts and the lower district courts in the federal system, this would be a situation where the administrative office of U.S. courts would come in and say, you know what, judge, you can no longer handle this case because of your conflict, whatever that may be. Because the Supreme Court does not have a similar type
There's
of
no
rule.
There's no mechanism for the Supreme Court, though, right, Jim?
There are mechanisms, absolutely, but they're self-effectuating in this case, right? You've got to have the justice himself or herself say, I find that I am in fact conflicted and I am out of this. Most jurists would do just that. Again, the word outrage comes to mind. He should not be deciding these cases, not only for the integrity of the court, but also think about this. assume at some point that there is a case in front of the Supreme Court involving executive privilege. We've got lots of cases out there. Obviously, we've got referrals continuing to be made by the committee to the Department of Justice. All kinds of things can come up. And suppose at one of these cases, there is a 5-4 split. And he is the deciding vote that says yes or no. We're going to permit this testimony to go forward. Documents be produced. Under those situations, you really do have a suspect decision then, and that's the great concern.
But we haven't reached that point yet. We can't make them recuse. And we all know an impeachment effort would be ill-fated, at least if the goal is to actually remove him from the court. So, you know, earlier this week, Jim, you know, sometimes I get sick of fighting the good fight. I'm just like, well, screw it. We can't do anything about it. What do you think? I'm just asking your opinion, Jim. What do you think the proper action should be?
Sure. It should be, again, a recusal, obviously, that your question goes beyond that. It should be some integrity inside the office of the Chief Justice. Frankly, even coming forward, I know he is not inclined to talk publicly about these things, but from time to time in the past, when there have been attacks upon the court by, you know, Chuck Schumer, by Donald Trump, he has come forward and said things that go to the integrity of the court. I would sure like to see the Chief Justice, under these circumstances where it is so very, very clear that there is a conflict, that this is undermining the legitimacy of decisions present and perhaps future, come forward and say something as simple as, I am profoundly concerned about this. I have let my concerns be known to Clarence Thomas. I'm hoping that he will look inside his heart and his mind and make this right decision. I think that would send a huge, huge message, not only to him, but also to the American public about something being done, because short of that, it is tough. And as your other question, a criminal prosecution, it's difficult to see here. You know, is there a conspiracy to accomplish a criminal end? Is there an agreement? That's going to be a really difficult thing to put together, even with all these
communications. Are we talking about Clarence or Jenny Thomas about criminality?
Well, I think, frankly, people are talking about both of them, right? But certainly Jenny, you can make a closer claim there about the possibility of some action. We've talked about this many times before. What is a conspiracy? It's an agreement. You and I engage in an agreement to conduct an illegal end. A simple advocacy is not that. She can write about the Kraken as she did to Mark Meadows. She can do all these things, all the things you indicate at the outset that may be disturbing at many, many levels, that she's got that access to the person who's right down the hallway from the chief executive. But that's advocacy, and we protect that. That's a part of our system. That's the First Amendment. If, on the other hand, and we know she was at the Ellipse event, the rally itself. She says she didn't go to the Capitol.
But weather got too cold for her.
It got a little bit chilly. It got a little chilly, absolutely. If you can show, and you have to have clarity in communications, that not only did you communicate something that was criminal, if any of the future communications, not necessarily with Mark Meadows, others, talking about organizing the same kind of thing for which the leaders of the Proud Boys and the Three Percenters have been indicted. I'm not saying she's in that category,
sure,
but you need that level of specificity, and we don't know right now. Certainly there are revelations every single week.
Would that change the case against the spouse? If Jenny Thomas were criminally indicted, let's say convicted, and upheld on appeal, and I know that takes years, Jim,
but
you know, we're talking theoreticals here. If there was a conviction of the wife and the husband still failed to recuse, does that start crossing the line into criminality on the actions of the associate justice husband?
I would say no, with a small N and a small O, simply because, once again, you have to impute something to the justice himself or herself, some criminal end, some intent to violate the law. And again, our focus is just upon the impropriety, right, of his making these decisions, of his sitting on the court on cases in which he and his partner, his spouse, has a specific and cognizable and identifiable interest, that is hugely problematic. at a minimum. And it could down the road, again, be the kind of thing, and depending upon what happens, be the kind of thing that, people look at and say, you know what, that decision that is rendered, again, the 5-4 that I speculated about before, that does in fact undermine one of our basic tenets of government, checks and balances, what the Supreme Court is all about, to tell us what the law is. And why is that so important? Because in fact, if the Supreme Court does not have integrity in those decisions, if you tell me what the law is, maybe, just maybe, I don't have to follow it. And we're already seeing that, aren't we, in America? We're already seeing legislatures, candidly. We're seeing other politicians around the country saying, you know what? I'm just not doing that. If it comes from the Supreme Court, that you've got a decision, even the appearance of, again, of impropriety, someone looks at that and says, that is not a legitimate institution, and legitimate people, as they have come forth and say that he should not be on these cases. This is not just some crackpot, crazy conspiracy out there. This is a problem, and it goes to the very following that we should all have of what the law is as it is announced by the Supreme Court. You don't have that, and that is when the Republic, as we've talked before, begins to crack.
But Jim, I don't hear, at least maybe I'm reading between the lines here, my friend, but I don't hear advocacy for an impeachment in the same way that perhaps guys like you and I advocated for the impeachment of Donald Trump, not because we thought there'd be a successful outcome, right, but because we thought the Congress owed it to history, if that makes sense. I don't hear you advocating in the same way for that sort of quote unquote radical action against Clarence Thomas.
It certainly is worth the discussion, is it not? Because as we know from our prior discussions,
well, my audience thinks it's worth the discussion. Yes.
Absolutely. We know that there really are no standards in the Constitution. We know that, you know, Gerald Ford very famously said, you know, that impeachment, grounds for impeachment, whatever you say it is, that's sort of what it is. We've learned that plainly from Donald Trump. We learned that from Bill Clinton. And so the discussion can and should be had as this goes on about whether or not this individual person should be making these all-important decisions about these cases. Could it be the basis of an impeachment? Yes, impeachment articles from the House have to do the same kind of thing. You're right, likely that it would not result in a Senate conviction and removal. But that kind of thing, again, my discussion before, my language before, that raises questions about the very integrity of the institution. Members of Congress should be thinking about that.
Jim, I'm going to put you on the spot. Short period of time to answer this one. With 2020 hindsight, do you agree with both impeachments of the former president?
I agree with both impeachments. And as you know, I agree with an impeachment that never happened. We are coming up on 3 years this month of the Mueller report. That should have been the first impeachment. And frankly, had we done that one, as I've often said on your program and in your presence, Mike, had we done that one, we wonder about the deterrence as to the others. Had we tried to do something at that time, clear violations of the law, Bob Mueller telling us 6 to 8 to 10 obstruction of justice items, that one should have been done as well.
Man, they can't even make Stormy Daniels stick. Come back with us, James Hentel, former U.S. attorney, good friend of ours. He's Jimmy when he's eating cannolis. More devils on the other side.
Yeah, that's when I decided to take the law into my own hands.